Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love, and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 866-338-9663 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show at Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again today. I wanted to do something special today because since I'm new to Dream Visions Radio Network, I wanted to sort of tell you my story so we could get to know each other a little better. And I want to begin by telling you something. I don't usually talk about this on the radio, but it'll give you a background for understanding really why I've been doing the Dr. Love ministry for these last 33 years. I was born 3 months early, and I spent the first 3 months of my life in a preemie nursery. I was only 2 pounds, and there I was. And a psychic said to me, you know, your ministry of connecting souls was born in that preemie nursery because you did not want to see other people suffering the pain of disconnection that you were feeling. And the disconnection really continued throughout my life. I talk about this in my memoir, Love Never Dies, my latest Hay House book. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share with you my amazing journey, because my life, throughout my professional life as Dr. Love, I've helped people connect with themselves, with friends, family, coworkers, spouses, life partners. And my career has taken an amazing turn to where I am now helping people also reconnect with loved ones and hated ones in spirit. So let me tell you my story so you can see how my life and my work with you and with everybody in the world has grown to encompass this new dimension, this new spiritual dimension. So I'm going to start by telling you that when I was a young girl, I actually had a detailed premonition of the man that I was going to marry. I saw him fleshed out. I saw his face. I saw his body. So I just decided, you know what? I'm going to wait until he appears. I'm not going to date. I'll wait. So he did appear on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College. I'd been shut out of all intro sociology classes, and I really wanted to take sociology. So I asked the secretary of the sociology department, what can I do? And she said to me, listen, go ask the department chair, Jean Pin, if he can find a seat for you in one of the closed classes. Well, the minute I stepped into Jean's office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience of my life. I literally felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And when I shot back into my body, I got this message, remember every aspect of this meeting, he's going to be everything to you one day. And then I forgot all about it, went about my life as a Vassar student. Now, after meeting Jean, I soon learned that for most of his life, he had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests in history. He was a religious pioneer, and he taught at the Vatican, and he founded a movement called Liberation Theology, designed to fight church oppression from within. And he actually launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church in their attempts to block the legalization of divorce in Italy. And he won on the grounds of religious freedom and liberation theology. Church had butt out of the private sector. He got the divorce bill passed. He changed the course of Italian history. And soon after, the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows, and he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood. And he was recruited by Vassar College, where he had been serving for 10 years previous to our fated meeting on that first day of my freshman year. So I have to say also that my background was completely different from Jean's. I was raised by two devoutly atheist parents. The only religion they practiced was religiously hating each other's guts. They taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife. So in the senior year of my studies at Vassar, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis, and I had heard that, among other things, Jean had been a very famous statistician, having founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So I asked Jean, will you help me with my statistics. And even though he wasn't my advisor, he cheerfully gave me his time. And in a few weeks, we knew we were crazy for each other. Despite our different backgrounds, generations, and religions, we were soulmates. We were twins separated at birth. So from that moment on, we were inseparable for 27 years. Now, in the last year of Jean's life, we both started having premonitions he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where it was going to happen. So when we went to Italy for our final vacation, the day we were leaving, lightning struck the rose arbor and destroyed it. And then about 40 crows appeared in the yard, and I thought, this is not a good sign. Not good at all. We went anyway. And one day in the trip, we're sitting on the beach, and the next thing I know, Jean's hand is up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. And suddenly a bee swoops down and stings his hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata. And I watch my beloved suffocate to death in front of my eyes. I can't even describe to you the agony, the terror of having him ripped from me this way. And I go back to the hotel room, and I'm hysterically crying on the bed. I'm shaking and I'm trembling. And the next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. Now, I know what I felt. I sit bolt upright. I look over my shoulder. I don't see anything. But he was with me in spirit form. And he has been with me from that moment and every moment since. And he has been making, to this day, the most astonishing manifestations of his spirit presence. And the purpose of these manifestations has been to show me we don't die, and therefore our relationships are not meant to end in death. And so as a result of this, I've developed what I call my new transdimensional grief therapy method, which vastly diverges from the Western approach to grief, which is grieve, let go, and move on, and do it in 6 months, or else we're going to slap a psychiatric label on you and give you medication. My method shows you how to reconnect rather than say goodbye, because saying goodbye just leaves the bereaved at an even greater loss. And now that I discovered we don't die, why shouldn't we reconnect? So in addition to showing you how to reconnect, I also go one step farther, because I also, as a shrink, I know that the Western grief therapy method offers us no way of making peace with those in spirit. Basically, if you have unfinished business, the idea is you're SOL, too bad. And so, not only do I show you how to reconnect, I offer you the first vehicle in history for not only reconnecting but making peace and using my new dialoguing with the departed technique. I'm so thrilled to say that I'm helping people, millions of people worldwide, those who call in to me on my Hay House radio show. We dialogue with the departed, my readers of the Love Never Dies book. Just no matter how long someone's been in spirit, no matter how old your unfinished business is, we reconnect and we resolve it. So I want to take you, you know, a little bit farther down the Love Never Dies experience to give you a sense of how Love Never Dies evolves. And it's in three parts. The first part is my story, where I pick up from the night that Jean left his body, and then I move you along to part two and part three. So I want to give you a couple of the stories so that you have a sense of just how powerful this all is. So it was my first night back from Italy, and I didn't sleep. Jean quoted something to me I didn't recognize, and I'll talk to you about that when we come back, because we're going to take a break in a couple minutes. When I came down the next morning, Jean asked me to open the kitchen door. He wanted to show me something. I opened the door, and sitting on the step is a chipmunk. And that chipmunk is obviously in a trance, and I realize he's being used by Jean as what I've come to call an open vessel. Animals, domestic and wild, are open vessels to channel messages from spirit. Well, that little chipmunk went into a trance, did not move, and then he began ripping at his little face, mimicking my husband's bodily departure, the way my husband was ripping at the oxygen mask because the air wasn't getting in. And as I watch this chipmunk in torment for 20 minutes, of course, tears are pouring down my face, and after 20 minutes, I see that little chipmunk visibly cough up a wonk of mucus, and he's in peace. And I knew Jean was telling me, I'm okay, Jamie. I'm okay. And it was such an extraordinary beginning to my discovery that Jean's present and he was going to begin to talk to me. And so I'm going to take a break now. When I come back, I'll tell you a couple of the other really amazing manifestations that have happened. And then we're going to go on to talk about how you can reconnect with your loved ones in spirit and how you can make peace with the deceased if needed. And also keep in mind that even if you don't have unfinished business, my Dialoguing with the Departed technique shows you how to just reconnect in order to obtain guidance, support, as you travel down the bumpy road called life. So I'm going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you. So take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener. So if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. It's my pleasure to be with you today. This is a very intimate conversation I'm having with you. I'm sharing with you my own amazing eternal love story and The Journey of Love Never Dies, my new Hay House book. So before we took the break, I was sharing with you the amazing story of how Jean brought the chipmunk to me and recreated his own bodily departure. The next thing I know, it's a couple of days later, I have got to send a fax to my phone carrier to take Jean's name off the account. Now, I had sent many, many multi-page faxes throughout the day, no problem. But when I went to fax his death certificate, the cover letter went without a hitch, but the death certificate would not fax. I tried again with the obit. Again, the cover letter faxed without a hitch, but then the obit wouldn't go. I tried 20 times. I finally gave up. The next day, I go to my lawyer's office with the papers. I don't say why. I just say to the secretary, would you be kind enough to fax this to Verizon for me? And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, after about 25 minutes, all the secretaries come back from the back office, and they're weeping. And they say to me, Jamie, we tried 20 times. Each time the cover letter faxes without a hitch, but the death certificate and the obit will not fax. They said, he's trying to tell you he's not gone. Okay, so I go home, and again, I have to fax to another location. I have to send his death certificate. And it won't work. The cover letter faxes, but the death certificate and the obit won't fax. So I cancel the fax, and I say to Jean, listen, I think you keep obstructing this fax because I keep forgetting you're still here. If I promise to remember, will you please let this fax go through in its entirety? I suddenly feel a tidal wave of love pouring over me. And I know it's Jean's answer to me. I heard you, Jamie. Yes. I reissue the fax. It goes through in its entirety. Okay, so things start to really heat up now. Wherever I go, strangers don't know me, didn't know Jean, don't know I'm widowed, they just walk up to me, and this is happening again and again. They walk up to me and they say, "Your husband says, tell our story," and then they walk on. Now, one day around this time, I was driving, and I suddenly felt the need to pray to Jean on behalf of a friend of mine named Emily, who had never found love. So I begin my prayer to him, and I feel that familiar tidal wave of love pouring through me, and I look at the clock, and I notice it's 4:58. That evening, I get a phone call from Emily. Now, Emily has never met Jean, never even seen a photo of him. She says to me, "Jamie, you have to hear what just happened. You're not going to believe it." She said, "Today at 4:58 exactly, I fell into a trance. Your husband appeared to me." And she described him to a T. She said, "He told me to find love, follow the gray stones to the church in your neighborhood." Now, he literally repeated the words of my prayer, proving to me through Emily, who is a human open vessel now, that he heard me right, and he repeated the words of the prayer to her. Now, a week later, I'm in my professional group, and I tell this story, and one of the members of the group, Emily is a member as well, she actually tells the story to the group, and Mitch, one of the members, says, "What was the name of the church that he sent you to in order to find love?" She says, "Oh, the Claremont Church." Mitch says, "Oh, my gosh. The Claremont Church is New York City's only liberation theology seminary." Remember I told you, Jean founded the liberation theology movement. So he put his stamp all over this manifestation. Now, I'm just going to give you one more string of examples. Early in my bereavement, I used to cry a lot before I really realized how present Jean was and how all of our loved ones are to us. So I was in my closet, and I was crying, and I was thinking, I have to call my friend Anne. No, don't bother her. I have to talk to her. And finally, after about 15 minutes of this hemming and hawing, my phone rings. I drag myself up out of the closet. I get the phone. It's Anne. She says, "Jamie, did you call me?" I said, "No, Anne," but I told her I was thinking I need to call you. She said, "Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID." Well, we were both so flabbergasted that Jean was aware I needed her to be called, and he called her for me, using her phone as an earthly prop to get the message across that he heard me. So now, about a year later, I have a chest cough. I cannot breathe, and I'm thinking, I'm going to suffocate exactly the way Jean did. And I beg him in this moment, "Jean, I'm begging you, please do that phone trick. Do it right now with my housekeeper, Donna. Call her for me." 2 seconds later, my phone rings, and it's Donna. And she says to me, "Jamie, did you just call?" I said, "No, Donna, I didn't call. But I was thinking I needed to, and I asked Jean to call you for me." She said, "My phone rang, and your name and number appeared on my caller ID." Well, this blew our minds. So around this time, I was in a professional writers group, and the head of the group, Gabe Davis, was a devout atheist himself. I was telling him all the stories of Jean's manifestations. And Gabe said, "You know, I would sure like to see Jean's caller ID phone trick repeated. And this time I'd like to see whether your call log shows a record of having dialing out, even though you didn't, of having been used to dial out, even though you didn't use the phone." So I forget about the challenge. And a month later, I'm driving behind Gabe and his wife, Robin, to meet them for dinner. And all of a sudden, it's 5:47. And I feel that familiar tidal wave of love again. I look at the clock and I note the time. I get out of my car at the restaurant and Gabe rushes up to me. He says, "Jamie, you won't believe what happened." I said, "Gabe, what happened?" He said, "At 5:47 exactly, my cell phone rang." He said, "I picked up the call and I saw your name on the caller ID. I answered the call and a man's voice said, 'Is Jamie there? Is Jamie there?'" He said the voice had an accent and it prolonged the word "there." Well, Jean had an accent and he would prolong that syllable, that word "there." He said it wasn't a real call. The voice just faded away. Call never clicked off or ended. He said, "Go get your phone. See if it dialed me at that time." So sure enough, I dig into my purse, drag the phone out. I hadn't used it all day. And in my call log, the phone had dialed him at that exact moment, 5:47. Or was it 5:47? So what is the point of all these over-the-top manifestations? As Jean told me right after he left his body, Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So Jean's over-the-top manifestations are not just for me. They're meant for you and everybody who's listening to let you know that your loved ones are here with you too. They're just waiting for you to open the door of your heart and let them back in. So after I tell you in part one of Love Never Dies all the amazing manifestations that prove to me we don't die, I move on to part two. And in part two of Love Never Dies, my focus is to try to help you overcome any false teachings, any false religious teachings, any erroneous beliefs that might block you from reconnecting with your loved ones. Well, as I discovered, we humans on the earth plane are being bombarded with a lot of misconceptions about the afterlife. And I discovered the first one was that the church says to us that it's not possible to reconnect with our loved ones in spirit. And how did I discover this? Remember I said that my first night back from Italy, Jean was quoting something to me. Well, the next morning I went to meet his priest to prepare the readings for his funeral. And I told the priest that Jean was quoting something to me the night before. Now, the priest raised his brow in obvious skepticism, like, yo, this babe has really lost her marbles. But then when I told him what Jean said, the priest blanched and he crossed himself and he said, "Dear God, Jamie, at first I did not believe that Jean was speaking to you, but I do now." He said, "You are quoting an obscure biblical passage from the communion of saints." Like I would know? I never read the Bible, Jean, and I never discussed religion, at least not when he lived in a body. Now, it took me a year to understand why Jean chose to quote that and only that biblical passage to me. Remember, he was a religious pioneer in life, and he continues to be in the afterlife. What he was showing me here is that the Bible is actually telling us that we are meant to reconnect and stay connected with our loved ones in spirit. And how I discovered this was when I understood what the communion of saints means. The communion of saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. And since the Bible is telling us we are supposed to stay in communion and communication with God and the saints, this means the Bible is telling us we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with our loved ones in spirit because they are one with God and the saints. Well, this was a shattering realization. Now, I also discovered that there is another very powerful misconception that most of us are taught, and that is, well, once your loved ones are in heaven, they're out of reach. Now, I want to back up and say to you that John wants everybody to know that we are not meant to live in an emotional wasteland separated from those we love, waiting until we die and enter heaven. Because as Jean said to me, heaven is a state, not a place. Heaven is all around us. Heaven is here and now. This means we are supposed to reconnect with our loved ones in spirit now. Now, what Jean is saying really flies against the traditional misinterpretation of the Bible. Because as I discovered, another misinterpretation is it's not possible to stay connected with our loved ones in spirit. And I discovered this when I went back to Jean's priest to tell him about the ongoing manifestations. And the priest said to me, "Well, I want you to know when Jean's in spirit, you won't hear from him anymore." Well, this bothered me all day. That evening, I set the circle for my group in my home office. Everybody was late except a new patient named Ashley, who did not know that I was widowed, didn't know me. She was meeting me for the first time. My group room is closed, and the next thing I know, I hear ding, ding, which is the sound of my front door chime opening, and then we hear loud pounding footsteps, and they stop in my waiting room adjacent to the group room. So I say to Ashley, "Gosh, I think somebody got his time wrong and thinks this is an individual hour." Now we hear the footsteps pounding in the opposite direction. We hear the front door open and the chime again. I say to her, "Excuse me, I'm going to have to go speak to that person." I jump up, and I run to the front door. Now, mind you, my driveway is very long, and the distance it takes to go from the front door to where you park is so far that no one could have left my house and gotten to his car before I had a chance to take the two steps to get to the front door. I open the door. There is no one there. I come back, and Ashley says to me, "It was a spirit." Well, that was Jean's answer to the priest's statement, "Oh, when I'm in heaven, you won't hear from me anymore?" Like what? There are no cell towers in heaven? But the signals are too weak from the earth plane to reach heaven? The point is, everything we've been told about the afterlife is dead wrong. So So in part two of Love Never Dies, I go through all the misconceptions and I debunk them one by one, that reconnecting prevents us from moving on with our lives, which is so untrue. In fact, reconnecting helps us transform our grief to joy so that we're much more able to re-enter our lives and enter them fully. I also talk about the misconception that we can't love again if we reconnect with loved ones in spirit. But, of course, that's so untrue. Our hearts are made to love. We have enough room to love all those who walk in spirit and those who walk the earth plane. We would never say to a mom, will you love your first child? Well, you can't have any more because you can't love anybody else. Untrue. So I also talk about how people think, oh, we're holding them back, when in fact they're just here to love us. That's, again and again, what Jean says, and all my patients, loved ones in spirit say, what else is there for me to do? It's my full-time occupation to love you. So in the second half of part two, after we've debunked all these false beliefs, we go into the science of how it's even possible. And I just demystify the whole experience of energetic communication. And basically, in Love Never Dies, the paperback edition, which just came out this past week, I add a whole new section on the science, explaining how quantum physics can explain after-death communication. It can explain where we go when we leave our bodies, and like the dark matter, which comprises 90% of our universe. Quantum physicists know it's there. Well, now we believe that's where our loved ones reside. And basically, all we need to do is accept what Einstein said, that energy cannot be destroyed. When we leave our bodies, we shed the shell of our bodies, the energy of our being continues. And so in part three, what I show you how to do is energetically communicate with beings who are now pure energy. So let me take a brief break. When we come back, we'll talk about how you can establish your own energetic communication, reconnection, and dialogue with loved ones in spirit.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, or even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com. Or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 866-338-9663. To listen live and download the free archive show, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and we're talking about my own amazing spiritual journey, which has led me to reconnect you with souls who live in the spirit plane and also to make peace with them. So before we took the break, I was explaining to you that in Love Never Dies, I share in part three how you can reconnect with your own loved ones in spirit. And basically what we are talking about here is sending and receiving energetic signals. And we humans were born with the innate apparatus to do this. And I show you in part three of Love Never Dies just how to tune to what I call the spirit channel of your brain. So the first chapter in part three of Love Never Dies is creating a state of receptivity. Because remember now, when spirit beings leave their bodies, they're freed from the vessel of the human body, they are now pure energy. And they have the power to communicate with us in infinite ways. And so the more we are receptive to them, the easier it is for us to not only receive their communication, but also it's easier for us to send. So in the chapter on creating your own state of receptivity, I show you everything that Jean showed me about how to open up to him. I show you how to create what I call pockets of peace. Because as Jean explained to me, Jamie, the noise of the day drowns me out. So anytime you want to hear me, come to the bed, be still and quiet, and you will hear me. So essentially, we must learn how to be still, if only for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I give you some exercises for stilling your mind. And I give you some special breathing exercises because spirit is born on the breath. Jean showed me as we breathe in, we breathe spirit into us. And then I also give you some beautiful exercises for helping you open up all your five senses and how to use nature and hypnagogic states or twilight states when you first wake up or when you first fall asleep or you're about to fall asleep. These states enable us to be more open. So in this chapter on creating a state of receptivity, we go through all of those exercises so that you are much more open. Now what happens when you are more open is you are primed to be able to see the signs that are being sent to you all the time, which is the next chapter in part 3 of Love Never Dies, recognizing the signs. Now, I have to say that most of my Hay House listeners and so many people before having read Love Never Dies, they'll say to me, oh, well, you're very open. Jean's amazingly spiritual. I don't get signs. But invariably, when they read all the signs that I list out and the examples from my own life and my patients' lives, they see all the signs of spirit presence. Invariably, everyone says to me, oh, this happened and that happened and this happened. So for most people, just recognizing the signs of spirit presence is sufficient to begin your own process of reconnecting. Now, spirits, because they are freed from the human vessel, they are able to send us signs in infinite ways, sounds, scents, visions, physical sensations like chills and goose flesh. They also love to send us signs through symbolic communication like butterflies, rainbows, and manifesting coins that were minted on a date that was significant to us. Let me give you this example. It's amazing. A patient of mine named Kyla, she came to my office on the anniversary week of Jean's bodily departure, and I just mentioned Jean always drops coins on me on the day that he left his body. And she said, oh, Jamie, I can't believe it. I almost forgot. She said, I was standing in my bedroom wearing my cowboy boots that you see me wearing now when I saw a coin drop from the sky, from the ceiling into my boot. And I got the message that it was meant for you, and I saved it. Let me give it to you now. At this moment, I heard Jean saying to me, you'll see, the coin was minted the year I left my body. She hands it to me, and sure enough, it was minted the year Jean left his body. So here I want to take you on the most amazing aspect of Love Never Dies, where the CEO of Hay House said to me, Jamie, we have never seen anything like what you're doing next, because what I do next is I show you how to bring the signs to life and how you can actually use them to engage in a back-and-forth dialogue. So let me give you an example of the difference between a static sign versus using a sign in a back-and-forth dialogue. So it was this year, and it was the anniversary week of Jean's bodily departure, and I went to my chiropractor's office. And the secretary, Teresa, was there, and I told her I'm giving my first public talk on Love Never Dies, the book just published, and Jean is making his presence known all over the place. With that, I smell gardenias. I don't say a word. Teresa says to me, Jamie, do you smell gardenias? I said, oh, my heavens, that's a sign. Jean is giving us both the same sign. The scent of sanctity. That's what that scent is. Now, I go home, and I'm in my office with a patient named Regina, who needs desperately to reconnect with her sister. She needs to know she's got the power to do this. I tell her the story about what just happened at the chiropractor's office. Now, as I tell Regina the story, I hear Jean saying to me, but I wish I could have given you roses. Now, nobody knew Jean would give me roses every week. So as soon as I hear Jean dialoguing with me and saying, I wish I could give you roses, Regina pops up off the couch, and she says to me, Jamie, do you smell roses? Now, by using Regina as a human open vessel and making her smell the roses, Jean was dialoguing with me using her as an aid by proving to me, you heard me right, I wanted to give you roses, and making her hear it and facilitating our back and forth dialogue. In this case, using her as an open vessel. Now, I want to tell you another example that is just so incredible. It happened right after I did the Coast to Coast show. Love Never Dies became an overnight bestseller. It sold out on Amazon. And the next day, I got an email from a guy who heard me on the show. And he said, I have to tell you, your husband is burning my brains up with messages for you. I get on the phone with the guy, and he starts speaking in French and Italian. And I know it's Jean speaking through this human open vessel because these are things Jean would have said to me. And the guy says to me, listen, I'm a hillbilly. I don't know no Italian. And I knew it was true. He didn't know what he was saying. Now, on Valentine's Day, this guy gets in touch with me again. He said, you've got to be sitting down because what I'm going to say to you is going to freak you out. I say, what happened? He said, I was sitting at my computer today. My hands were in my lap when Jean said to me, send Jamie the photo of the peach-colored rose. Now, nobody in the world but I know that Jean sent me not only roses every week, but peach-colored roses. So the man says that with his hands in his lap, not touching the computer, Jean opens up a menu of photos. His wife's a professional photographer. And then Jean opens up a peach-colored rose and puts it on his screen. And then he opens the caption, name of the photo, which is called Peaches and Cream. Now, the night before, this guy had written to me and said, Jean wants you to know your time is now, to which I had replied, Jean always said to me, the cream rises to the top. So the name of that photo, Peaches and Cream. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So that is a marvelous, marvelous example of how Jean dialogued with me with the help of a human open vessel and an earthly prop, in this case, an electronic device, the computer. So what I show you to do now in Love Never Dies is I show you how to formalize your dialoguing process so that you are able to send and receive energetic signals with loved ones in spirit using human and animal open vessels, using earth props, often, you know, phones or other electronic devices or computers. And then I also show you how to engage in an actual direct dialogue, back and forth. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to go more into how you can dialogue and how you can also make peace with your loved ones in spirit. So I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift. A free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm so excited to be sharing my own personal journey with you and the Love Never Dies miracle, my story of my spiritual reunion with my husband that has just proven to me we don't die and our relationships aren't meant to end in death. So we're talking about part three of Love Never Dies, where I show you how to make your own spiritual reconnection with your loved ones in spirit without the assistance of a medium, a channeler, or a psychic. I just show you how to use your own innate God-given ability to do this. Now, I want to share with you something that happened just this past week because I'm still flabbergasted by it, and then we'll talk more about how you can establish your own direct dialogue. I was doing my first Love Never Dies live retreat here at my home in Dutchess County. and the retreat was also being broadcast over the internet to my remote participants. The night before the retreat, I spoke with Jean, and I silently said, you know, I'm going to be screen sharing, and I want to be able to show my screen and have it be clean, and I've got 1,000 file folders on my screen, and I don't know how to get rid of them. At the same time, I wanted to show a photo from a Hay House listener who told me that Jean has been really coming to her in a beautiful way, and on one day, he told her when she was so depressed, I love my girl, now walk with me. And he took her on a walk to a beach where he showed her a bunch of heart-shaped stones, and on one of the stones, written in magic marker, was love my girl. She sent me this photo, and I wanted to share this with my live and my remote participants of the Love Never Dies retreat. But I also wanted to show the photo that Jean sent me through a disabled man right after he left his body. And it was a photo of the Eiffel Tower. So to just give you the quick backstory on this, all day, people had been walking up to me saying, you're glowing. And finally, I said to Jean, I don't get this. Why am I glowing? I'm crying all the time. And he said to me back then, Jamie, brides glow. We are newlyweds in the new spiritual phase of our relationship. So that night, I'm in my living room, and I get an email from this disabled guy. Now, he had written to me a couple of days after Jean left his body, and now it's 6 weeks after Jean left his body. And the guy just wrote to me out of the blue asking me if a mattress endorsement that I had written on the internet was legit. And at that time, I told him, yes, it's legit, but I can't speak. My husband just left his body. And the guy had written me on that day, my little darling, my little love, which is exactly what Jean used to call me. So here we are. 6 weeks later, on the day that Jean told me we're newlyweds, and this guy writes to me again. And he just says, I thought you'd like to see a photo of my beloved little parrot named Jamie. And I open up the attachment, and yes, it's a parrot, and it's named Jamie. But then I notice there's a second attachment. And I was so flabbergasted when I opened it, it was a photo of the Eiffel Tower. And where did Jean and I go when we were newlyweds on our honeymoon? Paris! And our hotel overlooked the Eiffel Tower. So I was so shocked that Jean was communicating and dialoguing with me through this open vessel. I wrote him back and I said, why did you send me that? And I never heard from the guy again. So either he was an angel, it was some kind of miracle, amazing. So now here I am the night before the retreat, and I'm thinking, I really want to show the Eiffel Tower photo in addition to that rock. But I don't know where the photo is on my computer. I've looked for it all these past years. I can't find it. On the morning of the retreat, I have all kinds of tech problems. It's so bad that I decide I'm just going to do a restart. And when I restart, I look at my computer desktop, and it is clean. All the file folders that I wanted to be gone were gone. Well, at first I panicked. I'm thinking, oh, no, my computer's ruined. I've lost all my data. But I searched, and every one of the folders was there. Jean just hid it for me. Okay, so now, an hour and 48 minutes into this retreat, I'm standing about 15 feet away from the computer and the camera that's recording me, filming me, when all of a sudden I feel a pain in my right ankle. I look down at my ankle, and I see that a horsefly has bitten me, and I'm bleeding. So I say jokingly, oh, that's Jean. He gave me a love bite. With that, I look up, and I see on my computer that the cursor and the mouse is moving all by itself. And I shout, and I say to everybody who's with me live, do you see what Jean is doing to my computer? And the next thing we know, Jean activates the screen share function so that everybody remotely sees him moving the mouse all by itself. I ask them, this is all recorded, I ask them, did you see this? And they're all saying, yeah, we see him moving the mouse. We see you're nowhere near the computer. And the next thing we see is the photo of the Eiffel Tower. He puts up that photo. Unbelievable. So what an amazing demonstration for our live retreat. We don't die. I'm right here. I knew you wanted that photo to be posted. I'm doing it for you. So he dialogued back with me through this earthly prop, the computer. So as I said before we took the break, in Love Never Dies, I show you how you can use earthly props, use human and animal open vessels to dialogue with your loved ones. but you can also engage in a direct dialogue. And this is what I do every week on the Hay House radio show. People call in. We use my meditation for making contact and my visualization for entering a trance. And then once we are prepared, and all of this, of course, is spelled out in Love Never Dies in Part 3, once we go into this trance, we begin our dialoguing back and forth. And I show you how to record it, how to write it. You say you're part of the dialogue. You say the other being's part of the dialogue. And what you're noticing is, as you practice, you get better and better at hearing them speak to you. They might give you a sensation. They might give you a vision. They might give you a word through thought induction or mind melding. Now, here's the beauty of the dialoguing process. Because, number one, we can dialogue to get guidance because they are here to help us, support us down the bumpy road of life, to help us achieve our spiritual development and achieve our fullest destinies. They are here to help us say goodbye to the physical body if they were ripped from us due to sudden accidental death or illness. They are here to just be with us in joy. But what if you're one of the millions of people who has unfinished business? Well, they are here to help you resolve that unfinished business. And what I discovered is, not only is it not too late to work it out with beings in spirit, you often have to wait until they're out of their bodies to work it out, because it's only now that they understand how they messed up with you. It's only when they're out of their bodies that they have a better perspective. Now, how did I learn this? It was the first week after Jean left his body, and Jean sent me to go do the car repair, and I introduced myself to Debbie, who didn't know me because Jean did the car thing. And I tell her Jean left his body due to a bee sting, and the next thing I know, Debbie's husband, who's in spirit, starts to speak to me, right as she's telling me I'm a widow. The husband in spirit says, please tell her to stop making the same mistake that I made with our son, because now she's creating the same power struggle that I did. I tell her this. She freaks. She says, it's true. Now, what flabbergasted me was it proved to me, wow, he didn't realize the mistakes he made until he left his body, which means beings in spirit, once they know the mistakes they've made, they're more poised to work it out with you. But there's more. I discovered that beings in spirit not only can work it out, they desperately need to work it out, that their own spiritual development and evolution requires them to work it out with us, and they can't rest in peace until they know that we have also healed whatever is outstanding with them. How did I discover this? It was Good Friday, and Jean led me to Lainey, the bird lady's house. I didn't know her personally, but she had tried to help us save our little canary, and we were unsuccessful. And it's many years later now, and he says, go. So I go to her place, I walk in, and she points out a Goulian finch sitting in a cage right near the door. She says, look at this bird. Hasn't eaten in 2 days. It's so small that if I don't get some food into it, within a few hours, it will be dead. So I ask, can I help? She says, okay. So I begin to energetically communicate with the bird. And that's no different than the energetic signals we send to those in spirit. I'm just energetically communicating with this bird. I speak aloud so Lainey can hear me, and I tell the bird, go down to your seed bowl and eat. The bird instantly obeys. The more it eats, the stronger it gets, the more it starts scarfing up seeds like a little vacuum, the more it starts to chirp, and I see the bird is okay. Now I become aware that there are spirit presences surrounding Lainey, and these presences seem to have been making the bird sick. First I hear the mom saying, I'm sorry I was such a weakling and I didn't protect you from him. And she cries and she says, my mom used to always call herself a weakling. And then I hear a man saying, I know you're still afraid of me, and I'm begging you, my spiritual development requires you to confront me about my molesting you. And I know you're still a little girl frozen in the fear and the terror, and I need you to confront me for your growth and for mine. I say this to her. She weeps, and she says, absolutely, that is so. And we dialogue back and forth, and she comes a long way to making peace with him. And I can't tell you how gratifying it is to see this every week on Hay House Radio, or receive calls from my people who have, you know, listened to the show or read the book, and they tell me, and I see it, they make peace. Even if somebody has been in spirit for 25 years, it's never too late. They make peace. It is so wonderful. Now, Here's the most important thing that I want to convey to you. We all know that our purpose here on Earth is to perfect our abilities to love ourselves and others. This is our love lab. And I am living proof of how difficult it is to love yourself. Now, you can't love others, which is what we're supposed to do, if you don't love yourself. And I am living proof of how difficult it is to truly love yourself when you were raised in an abusive family. And I tell all about this in part one of Love Never Dies, where my parents just tore me down. And even though Jean was always so loving, it never really penetrated the deepest fibers of my soul. I always heard my parents' voices putting me down, tearing down my self-esteem, and just ripping me to shreds. No matter how successful I was, they would still do this to me. After Jean left his body, I went to my professional group, and I was weeping about this, saying, I've got to resolve this. I need help. And they all said, oh, shout at your parents. Tell them to shut the F up. That never worked. Didn't work for me. Never worked for my patients. I come home, and I beg Jean to help me. And instantly, he appears to me as the embodiment of love. He is surrounded in golden light. He takes my face in his hands, and he turns me toward him in the light, and he says, listen, listen, listen to me, Jamie. Let my love for you enter you. And in that moment, the most miraculous thing happened. I realized why he couldn't help me heal when he was in a body, and why he had to be out of his body to help me heal, because now freed from the vessel of his body, his love for me could enter me unimpeded. And in that moment, his love for me became my own self-love, and I was healed. And so this is the ultimate power of Love Never Dies. By reconnecting with your loved ones in spirit, this is your fast track to self-love. When you allow them to come in and heal every corner of your soul, healing you mind, body, and spirit, you are now a well, an abundantly overflowing well of love that you can offer to the world. And that is what Love Never Dies is all about. So I really want you to open your heart and your mind. You can allow this mystery to unfold by just not believing everything you've been told. Be open to this possibility. Allow yourself to join me on the Love Never Dies journey. Come to one of my live retreats. And if you really feel like you are looking to bring more love into the world, you might apply to me and become one of my first transdimensional grief therapy coaches. I'm actually beginning the first training on September 15th. And if this speaks to you, reach out to me and I can interview you and see if you would be right to become one of my first coaches. So you can help me bring this love revolution out to the world, which is what my mission is now, to let everyone know that our loved ones are here with us. They don't die. They're waiting to reconnect with us. And this week, I also want to share a free gift with you because Love Never Dies, as I said, just published in paperback form. So when you publish the paperback, write to my webmaster, webmaster@askdoctorlove.com, and you will receive free private access to an amazing talk that I gave a month ago at the Bigger Game Expo where Jean made one of his manifestations right on film. It's the first time it was captured on film, prior, of course, to my retreat, which we captured as well. And so I want to offer you that gift, which is going to further solidify the proof for you that your loved ones are here, too. I also want to remind you, when you sign up for my free newsletter, you will receive the preface and the intro of Love Never Dies to get you started on your journey so that while you're waiting, let's say, for Amazon to shoot you the book, you're already on the path. So I'm so thrilled that I was able to share Love Never Dies with you because I really have such a mission now to help you realize all the love in this universe, help you reconnect with your loved ones in spirit, help you transform your grief to joy, and help you become one of the many people who is going to go out there and share our message and bring peace and joy to those who are suffering. Not just your own peace and joy, but help us let other people know what we've been told about the afterlife is dead wrong and our loved ones are here. They're knocking on the door of our hearts, waiting for us to just open the door and let them back in. So it was really a pleasure for me to spend this hour with you and share more of my personal story with you. And in the months to come, whenever I can, I will do the show live through Dream Vision 7 on Sunday nights, and I'll be able to take your calls and we'll get to know each other more. So that's all I have for you now on Ask Dr. Love, and I'll see you next time. Take care, and I wish you all the love in this world and beyond.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com. Follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and on Facebook at / AskDrLove.